the visions that were seen, and then he proceeds on in to talk about how, because of these great visions, in order to humble him, that he was given a thorn in the flesh. And I suspect many will recognize this is the text where he talks about his thorn in the flesh. And of course, the questions about that as to what it might have been. All of this is written in the context of a letter in which Paul is writing in defense of himself, in defense of his apostleship. There were some apparently in Corinth who were attacking him, raising questions about his sincerity. They were critical of the way that he presented the gospel, that it was weak and, you know, feeble. And charge was made that he was a false apostle, that he was making claims to apostleship that were not justified to be made. And so there's a lot of defense of himself in this letter. And if you would, please, I'd like for you to pick up the reading with me, dropping down to verse 19 of 2 Corinthians chapter 12. He says, "All this time you have been thinking that we are defending ourselves to you." You see that kind of circumstance that he's been dealing with in his writing. And he says that some of you are going to think that, well, all I'm concerned about and all I've written about is my self-defense. Actually, he says, it is in the sight of God that we have been speaking in Christ, and all for your upbuilding, beloved. He had not been motivated so much by defense of himself or a building up of himself in the eyes of these brethren. He was concerned about building up, but he was concerned about building them up. And that what he had said, he said in the presence of God. What he has said, he has said before God. But verse 20, he continues and says, "For I am afraid that perhaps when I come, I may find you not what I wish, and may be found by you not to be what you wish." Now, Paul is concerned that on some future trip to Corinth, that these issues were going to still be present among them, and that he wasn't going to measure up to what they were expecting, or that they would not measure up to what he would be expecting of them. That perhaps, he finishes out verse 20, there may be strife. I think he's talking about between themselves. That there may be strife, jealousy, angry tempers, disputes, slanders, gossip, arrogance, disturbances. I'm afraid that when I come again, my God may humiliate me before you, and I may mourn over many of those who have sinned in the past and not repented of the impurity, immorality, and sensuality which they have practiced. Paul's got some deep, deep concerns about the Corinthian church, its welfare, its spiritual condition. He's very concerned about the environment of the church and in the visit that he may provide in coming to them. It may be a visit that is contentious and that is not the pleasant visit that he would hope that it would be. And I'm particularly taken by verse 20, where in expressing these concerns. He expresses the notion that rather than being a good and a wholesome and a pleasant visit, that it might be one characterized by strife and jealousy and angry tempers, disputes, slanders, gossip, arrogance, and disturbances. He certainly didn't want it to be that kind of a contentious visit. But it could very well be. As I read these verses, I became struck by that list of things that he gives in verse 20 of what might very well characterize his visit there. And a lot of the things that he mentions we're familiar with. It seems to me like we might be tempted to just kind of read over these things and not be all that impressed with them. But these are deep concerns on the part of the Apostle Paul of what might exist at Corinth. Who really enjoys attending a church filled with strife? How many of you have the Tustin Church is filled with jealousy, and it's just great. But when was the last time you asked someone to come and visit here at Tustin with you with the admonition that, you know, we've just got a church full of angry tensions and of angry tempers, and we really think you'd fit in there. I think probably some of us have been part of churches that were characterized by disputes, and it is not a pleasant circumstance to be in. And that's exactly what Paul is expressing here. What I want to talk to you about tonight is just one of the characteristics that he mentions here that I think we may sometimes give a very light kind of consideration to. But he says that what he is concerned about is that upon this visit that there may also be gossips. And if you stop and you think about the background as I've described it to you of this visit and the potential for there to be some real serious kinds of, you know, of personal confrontations, of people making accusations about Paul and charging that he's not a legitimate apostle, or charging that, you know, he's not that strong of a preacher, and in the context of that kind of a personal animosity that exists, you can imagine how gossiping could thrive, and why it would be on this list of Paul's concerns that gossiping might become a problem among the Corinthians. What is gossiping? We hear it all the time. You know, preachers talk about don't be a gossip now. And what is a gossip? Simply and directly described, defined as being a babbler. A gossip is a babbler. And I think that gives us a kind of a picture of the problems associated with gossiping. It involves a person's excessive talking, excessive use of the tongue, which the scriptures speak to us in warning about. A gossip can be quite a hindrance to a church and quite a threat. The scriptures have much to say about gossiping, actually, and I'd like to spend a few moments in our study this evening reviewing what it says. Not because I feel like, well, there's some kind of a problem here. I don't know of there being a problem here in this regard, but I do know this. I do know that every church needs to be on guard against what Paul was warning the Corinthian church about. I don't know of any particular problem in the congregation here dealing with, you know, angry tempers among the brethren, but I do know this: we need to be careful about that condition arising. I don't know of any disputes that exist among the brethren, but I do know this: we need to be cautious about disputes arising among us, and we need to be cautious about gossip becoming a problem among us. Proverbs chapter 20 and verse 19 says, "He who goes about as a slanderer reveals secrets. Therefore, do not associate with a gossip." And I think what you'll find in the many scriptures that address this issue is kind of the use of the word slanderer and gossip interchangeably almost, and that seems to be the case here. Is the warning is issued about a slanderer, and then a secondary warning issued about associating with a babbler is someone who inevitably is going to be involved in the speaking of things that are inaccurate, that are hurtful, and that are harmful. And for that reason, the wisdom literature here in Proverbs urges us to avoid such people. Before we speak, we ought to ask ourselves a series of questions that I want to suggest to you this evening. The first is, we ought to ask ourselves, do I know this is true? Now, just because something is true doesn't remove it from the realm of gossiping. You can take a statement of fact and say it in such a way that it becomes hurtful and harmful to a person. But the first thing we ought to be concerned about and what we talk about, what we say, is whether or not what we are saying is true. Misrepresenting a person is a terrible sin. To misrepresent someone, the Apostle Paul, as we've noted in our reading already, had to deal with this kind of an issue. The book of Romans, we see where he makes mention of this. Romans, the third chapter, and in the eighth verse, he says, "And why not say, as we are slanderously reported, and as some affirm that we say, let us do evil that good may come." Paul's discussing here his views about grace and the deliverance of God by his grace, and how he was falsely charged by some about what he taught in regards to the grace of God. But I want you to notice how he describes what was being charged against him and how he was being charged. He says, "We are slanderously reported, and some affirm that we say." Well, you know, the charge was, well, just go out and live however you want to. You know, the grace of God will deal with it. Which, of course, is not at all what he was teaching. But his point is that people were saying that was what he was teaching, what he was supporting, And they were saying it, knowing it not to be true. That was why he accuses them here of being slanderers. That's why he describes what they were saying and doing as being a slanderous report about himself. Great damage can be done by passing on information that's incorrect. Even if it's inadvertent, can still produce great harm. The book of Acts tells of the Apostle Paul's travels, coming into the city of Jerusalem. He eventually would be placed under arrest because of the charges being made about against him. False charges being made against him by the Jewish leaders. But leading up to that, he had in his company certain Gentile companions who'd traveled with him, and he had been seen with those companions. People began to make the accusations that when he went to the temple, he's profaned the temple. He's brought these Gentile companions with him into the temple. It was all based upon an assumption that these people made. Paul didn't have those Gentile traveling companions with him. He didn't bring them into the temple. He didn't profane the temple in any way. But they had made an assumption, and they were passing that information around. It was inaccurate. And it did great harm. It led eventually to the arrest of Paul. We need to be scrupulous about what we say, about information that we may pass on to individuals. Over in the book of 3 John, we find where the Apostle John dealt with this as well. It's interesting to me as we look at these passages, and how much the apostles of Jesus Christ had to deal with this kind of foolishness. But that's exactly what we see in the case of Paul. We see it in the case of John, in 3 John, and in verse 10. We'll start reading in verse 9. He says, "I wrote something to the church, but Diotrephes, who loves to be first among them, does not accept what we say. For this reason, if I come, I will call attention to his deeds, which he does." What's Diotrephes doing? "Unjustly accusing us with wicked words, and not satisfied with this, neither does he himself receive the brethren. And he forbids those who desire to do so, and puts them out of the church." I mean, this was a campaign on the part of this man in order to control this congregation. But Diotrephes' actions seem to be somewhat different from what we were talking about in the book of Acts and what happened to Paul at the temple. That seemed to have been an inadvertent accusation made against him. Certainly it was a convenient accusation to make against him. But it was based apparently upon a false assumption. Didn't make it right. Didn't make those people any less responsible for the consequences. Nor will your false assumptions that led to passing on false information about someone that was harmful and turned out to be hurtful to them. False assumption is not going to be an excuse for gossiping. Diotrephes' situation seems to be somewhat different, and that is that he seems not to be under the effects of some misconception, but rather he is deliberately speaking things that are harmful and hurtful and gossiping in that sense. He's slandering. He's doing with his mouth, what is harmful to John. And John cannot let it go and will not let it go, and will address it when next he was with those brethren. But we need to be, as I said, very scrupulous about determining whether or not what we are saying is true, whether or not it is free of hateful kinds of motives, like that of Diotrephes or those people in Corinth, or whether it is free of misconceptions that we have. We need to be scrupulous about whether what we are saying is true. In our efforts to avoid being gossips, we also need to ask a second question, and that is, will I be violating a confidence? Will my speaking about this be betraying a confidence? You would probably expect it that the wisdom literature addresses this issue of honoring a confidence that someone has placed within us. In the book of Proverbs, in the 11th chapter, you find there where the wise man has something to say about this matter of holding a confidence and being true to a confidence. Proverbs chapter 11 and verse 13, he says, "He who goes about as a talebearer reveals secrets, but he who is trustworthy conceals a matter." I find that to be an interesting statement. I don't imagine that you would think a lot of times about there being a righteousness about concealing a matter, but that's exactly what we're told here. Certainly, there's nothing to indicate in this of lying and telling untruths and things of that nature to protect someone, but we need to know how to conceal a matter. You ever had someone come up to you and say, "Hey, did you know about so and so or whatever?" Yeah, I heard about that. "Well, what do you know about it?" And they kind of look around and they say, "Can you keep a secret?" And they say, oh yeah. And so can I. And that's exactly what you're duty bound to do, is to keep a secret. Just because you know something doesn't mean you have to tell it. That's exactly what the wise man is telling us here. And we need to ask ourselves, am I going to be betraying a confidence that someone has placed in me by revealing certain facts that I'm in possession of? Over in the book of Proverbs in the 25th chapter and in the 9th verse, there again we see the wise man addressing this. He says, "Argue your case with your neighbor and do not reveal the secret of another." You have an obligation to keep secrets. You've got a duty to protect the secrets that others have entrusted you with. And to fail to do so, and to be willing to compromise this, and to be willing to make known to others these things that have been entrusted to you, is to be a gossip. It is to be willing to become a blabberer, as that word is often defined. Third question I would suggest to you we might ask ourselves is, Am I the person who should speak? Am I the proper person? Am I the one who it is fitting and that it is right for me to speak about these things? Again, I say to you, because I know it doesn't mean that it is fitting for me to speak about it. Over in the book of 1 Peter chapter 4, you'll remember these words from the Apostle Peter. By no means let any of you suffer as a murderer. Oh, well, sir, none of us wants to suffer as a murderer. Or a thief. Well, none of us should be stealing things, and none of us should suffer as a thief, or an evildoer, or a troublesome meddler. Don't suffer as a troublesome meddler. Now, there's a couple of things that says to us. Number one is, if you're a gossip, if you become a troublesome meddler, there's a pretty good possibility that you're going to suffer. That you're going to suffer because of it. Because I guarantee you, nobody likes a gossip. Nobody appreciates a person who is a troublesome meddler in the affairs of others. Some versions translate that word troublesome meddler. They translate it as a busybody. The busybody is someone who is wrongfully concerned about other people's business. And the fact of the matter is, there are just some things that are not your business. And there are some things that are not my business. And for me to try to make them my business is wrong. And it puts me into the category of what Paul was concerned about for some of those Corinthians, of becoming a gossip and a meddler in things that don't concern me. Finally, I would suggest to you a question we ought to ask ourselves in these regards is, what are my motives? Why do I want this information? Or if I have the information and I am spreading it or sharing it with others, what's my motive in that sharing of the information? More often than we're willing to admit, our motive is to hurt someone. If you look back again to Proverbs. And Proverbs chapter 12 and verse 18. You find, again, the insights of the wise man who says, there is one who speaks rashly like the thrust of a sword, but the tongue of the wise brings healing. As is often true in the Proverbs, you've got a great contrast that's being drawn here. The tongue of the spoken word of the wise person brings healing. It doesn't wound. It doesn't harm and hurt. But he so vividly describes here the tongue of the gossip, the tongue of the one who is seeking to do some harm, as being the thrusts of a sword. We need to ask ourselves, what is it that motivates me in saying the things that I'm willing to say? I think probably in conclusion, the words that Jesus spoke that are familiar to us in Matthew chapter 12, verses 33 through 37, so aptly conclude a lesson about such things as gossiping and slandering. Matthew chapter 12 and verse 33, Jesus had this to say to his listeners. Either make the tree good and its fruit good, or make the tree bad and its fruit bad. For the tree is known by its fruit. I hope I'm not oversimplifying here. What Jesus is saying is either be good or be bad. Just, you know, and the way that you do that, the way that you accomplish it, that is by the fruit that is produced. But he goes on and he says, "You brood of vipers." So it's pretty clear what kind of people he's speaking to. "You brood of vipers, how can you, being evil, speak what is good? For the mouth speaks out of that which fills the heart. The good man out of his good treasure brings forth what is good. The evil man out of his evil treasure brings forth what is evil." I'll tell you how important this is, this issue about gossip and whether or not I'm involved in it, or it comes right down to the critical issue of character and whether I'm a good person who brings forth good fruit or whether I'm an evil person who brings forth evil fruit. But the words I wanted you to think about particularly are those in verse 37 where Jesus says, "For by your words you shall be justified, and by your words, you shall be condemned." I'll tell you, this is no little unimportant issue to just be read over and to be given little or no thought. Being a gossip has eternal implications. "For by my words, I will be justified," or "by my words, I will be condemned." How are you living your life? Is it in conformity with the will of Christ? And as we've read there in Matthew 12, that's really the issue, is whether we are good by His standards or evil by His standards. And our judgment will be rendered on that basis. And so if you tonight seek to have forgiveness of wrongs that you've committed in the past and that would make you prepared for that judgment by the Lord, and then we stand ready to help you give that obedience to Christ. If you believe Him to be the Son of God, if you turn away from your sins in that faith, if you'd confess that faith in Him, and if you'd be baptized to wash the guilt of your sins away, you can become one of His children. And then you can work towards creating that life that is good in His estimation. We pray that you'll come to Him while we stand and sing.